UTEP, the El Paso Symphony Orchestra, and EPISD are working together to bring a Dvorak and America festival put together by New York writer-producer Joseph Horowitz. This is part of a high-profile initiative involving a host of other nationwide orchestras that form a part of Horowitz's Music Unwound Consortium, a project heavily funded by the National Endowment for the Humanities. You are invited to see Dvorak and America on Friday and Saturday, February 19th and 20th at the Plaza Theater. Here to tell us about this initiative and performance is Dr. Lorenzo Candelaria, Professor of Music History and Literature here at the University of Texas at El Paso. Welcome, Dr. Candelaria.
Hi, so happy to be here.
So you and Joseph Horowitz have an interesting relationship. You're actually the guy that brought this here, so I'd like to know some of the background on this.
Sure. Joe and I go back to about 2004. We were introduced by a visionary dean that I worked under at the University of Texas at Austin, who happened to have been here just this last week giving one of the president's centennial lectures. And his name was Robert Freeman. And shortly after I got to the University of Texas at Austin, he said, there's this fellow you have to meet, Joe Horowitz. And we had lunch, we had a few discussions, and we've been great friends ever since. On one of my recent trips back to Austin, I met Joe, and we reminisced over the time I told him about 5 years ago that, you know, you've got a lot of great projects going in New York, Joe, and there's this city, El Paso, where a lot of that would work just great. And in his very casual, comfortable New York way, he goes, you know, I have to admit, I don't even know where that is on the map. And so we took care of that. We invited Joe last year to the University of Texas at El Paso, and long story short, he fell in love with El Paso.
Who doesn't?
Exactly. And he fell in love with UTEP, and he fell in love with the students. He said he had never seen students that were so engaged, so appreciative, and so curious about what he was talking about. And so everything that I told Joe about El Paso turned out to be true. And the kinds of collaborative efforts that he was looking for decades, he found them here in El Paso. So what happened is that we talked a little bit about his Music Unwound program, which is focused on public programming in the humanities through the arts, and he relies on multimedia and interdisciplinary types of programs. We talked about all of the moving parts that we could contribute here in El Paso and how beautifully they'd come together. And the Dvorak Festival is the first iteration of that, and we're hoping to get two more years of it. Next year, we're hoping to get a festival built around Aaron Copland and the Mexican composer Silvestre Revueltas. And the year after that, we're going to do a program on the composer Kurt Weill. And everyone who knows Mack the Knife knows Kurt Weill.
Absolutely.
And he was also a fantastic classical composer back in Germany, but it's really an immigration story. He comes to the United States, and he assimilates as an American. He stops speaking German altogether and becomes one of our famous Broadway composers. So these are great programs that Joe is bringing to El Paso, thanks to the NEH and thanks to the collaboration of the El Paso Symphony Orchestra, of UTEP Music Department, and also of the El Paso Independent School District. So we're very excited about it.
I'm super excited about it. I was doing my own research on Dvorak and America, and I found it interesting that we brought Dvorak over. When I say we, it was really a teacher, right? A woman.
A very wealthy woman who founded a conservatory of music in New York City called the National Conservatory of Music. Her name was Jeanette Thurber. And like many women in the 19th century, many women from wealthy backgrounds, she really was at the epicenter of the classical music scene in New York, much like the Women's Club was a major driving force for the arts and for music in particular here in El Paso. And we're very grateful for that.
So that's what I find interesting. You have this woman who brings a Czech composer to the United States to say, we want to find our nation's music.
Right.
You know, and I wonder, why didn't she do that with an American? She brought Dvorak over. Is there any thought as to why she didn't do it with somebody born here?
Well, it's part of a broader struggle and a longer question that we've had in the music history of the United States, is that we've struggled to find a native voice in classical music. If you think about the classical music tradition, we think about German composers, Bach, Beethoven, Mozart, Brahms, and so forth. Most people would be hard-pressed to name an American composer that sounds American. Well, nowadays we can name Gershwin. But a lot of that came out of the seeds that were planted when Dvorak came here between 1892 and 1895. So why Dvorak? Well, Dvorak had made a national reputation for himself as a composer who was able to reflect the sound of his native lands in ways that people found recognizable. So when you hear Dvorak, people say, that's Czech music. Now, there are some of my friends in the music department who are excellent theorists who might argue that something can sound Czech or not. But the public perception is that the music sounded Czech and that he was using idioms, dance idioms, and certain sounds that people associated with Czech culture. And he was very famous for that. So as we struggled with the question of what sounds American in classical music at the end of the 19th century, Jeanette Thurber said, well, let's bring Dvorak here for 3 years or however long he wants to stay. Dvorak wrote home, and he was very well aware of this. He wrote his wife at home. He said, you know, the Americans are expecting great things from me. They want a national music, and my job is to help them find it.
Now, he did find it.
Yes.
He quickly gravitated toward Native American and the music of Black communities. How was that received, I should ask?
Well, it depends on where you were. Mm-hmm. The moral of Dvorak's story is that he told Americans that if you want to sound American, you're going to base your music on the musical traditions of Native Americans and African Americans. And in the years that followed the Civil War, for some people, that's not what they wanted to hear. Mm-hmm. He's essentially talking about two of the most marginalized communities then, and in some cases now. But he found the music of African Americans, what he called Negro melodies at the time, and what was called Indian music at the time, just fascinating. And he couldn't get enough of it. In New York, which is a city of immigrants, it was well received. Dvorak was applauded. In Boston, where they held
different
a...
story.
Yes, it's a very different story. They were calling him barbaric. They were calling him a Negrophile. And they were castigating him in all sorts of ways because he was embracing the music of African Americans and of Native Americans.
But don't you think, I mean, at the same time, you know, I asked the question, you know, why would we bring somebody from outside to help us find our voice? But at the same time, something about outside eyes that really can help sometimes see a community for what it is.
Right. I think that's part of it, too. I mean, we grow up around things and a lot of times we don't appreciate them. So a lot of times we don't notice them. That's one of the most thrilling parts of my music history classes that I teach for people who are not music majors is that I help them become aware of the music that's all around them. And they're immersed in it. And once I point it out, they notice it. But before then, it's just life. It's ordinary life. That's right.
So this festival, the performance sounds incredible. I mean, you really are taking us through all of it. You start with Czech music. Okay, this is his starting point. And then you go into the Negro hymnals and then into the Native American inspired pieces. Can you kind of talk about the program and how it kind of circles back to the big picture?
Sure. Actually, the program doesn't, strictly speaking, I guess we could say it starts with Czech music because Dvorak is composing it. But he's composing it with a distinctly American accent. These are works that he's composed or they're based, our compilation, our melodrama and our performances that we're putting on are all based on his impressions of what he heard when he came to the United States. And so, for example, there are certain pieces like the big piece on the program is called the Symphony from the New World or the New World Symphony, mm-hmm. which is just a gorgeous symphony. And the careful listener who becomes familiar with the music of the African-American spiritual and Native American tunes will recognize threads of that beautiful or of those beautiful music traditions running throughout the symphony. The thing is that the symphony itself is composed in a very straightforward classical form. It's a very attractive work, a true masterwork in the repertory.
It should be mentioned that we have an amazing bass baritone singing, Kevin Dees.
Yes, Kevin Dees. Everyone's going to love Kevin Dees. I can't say enough about him. He's an incredible collaborator on this project. He's a bass baritone who's going to be performing with the El Paso Symphony on the 19th and 20th, and he's going to be performing with the UTEP Chorale on the afternoon of Sunday the 21st. But he's also going to be going out to Chapin High School, where we're going to do a Harry Burleigh melodrama there, and it's going to be broadcast throughout the region for other high school students.
How amazing.
Yes, he's a very generous person, and he's a singer of international renown, and he's being very generous with us. And I think that once the people of El Paso hear him, they're just going to fall in love with him. He's just fantastic music.
Well, I can already hear the swing lows.
Yes, yes.
Can't wait to hear it. Well, thank you so much for bringing Joseph Horowitz here, and then for creating this Music Unwound and for making it come to life here in El Paso. This Dvorak Festival, I know it's your first one, but it already sounds like you've got a great footing, and it's all thanks to you, our connector, for bringing these people to El Paso. So I just want to thank you for that.
Well, thank you.
And then I want to encourage everybody else to check out the performances. You can see Dvorak in America on Saturday, February 19th, and Sunday the 20th at the Plaza Theater, as well as that concert at UTEP on Sunday.
The UTEP Chorale Concert will be on the afternoon of Sunday, February the 21st.
So you're all invited to that. Get your tickets at Ticketmaster. And I can't thank you enough. Today, my guest has been Dr. Lorenzo Candelaria, Professor of Music History and Literature here at the University of Texas at El Paso. Thank you.
Thank you.